Time to begin worship service this morning. Good to see everyone. We're going to be singing out of favorite gospel songs. First song will be number 146 this morning. Good to have our visitors with us, so join right in and sing. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Number 146, I'll just keep on calling. Number 206. And I could tell you, sinner friend, if you need the Lord, this one right here, if you'll call on his name, you'll find that victory. Number 206. Would you stand on this?
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody out today for our service. We've got several visitors with us today, and we thank you for being here today. We just appreciate everybody that's visiting with us today, and I hope that you'll have a blessed day, but I hope you get a blessing out of our service today. I will say this. I wished you had been here for our Sunday school class today. Everybody, we had a really good class in our lesson today. Brother Stewart got a good blessing out of our lesson today. As he taught, he had some things on his heart, and it was about standing in the gap. And we need people to stand in the gap. And you might think, well, what's a gap? Well, a gap's a hole in a place. If you've got a line of people, well, I'll take it back to football. I guess that's the best way to put it these days. That's what we're more familiar with. But if you've got a line of people standing up there, and I remember this from my high school days. I hadn't thought of this in a long time. I was playing tackle on my high school team, and we went out for first down. And I looked around as we went, broke huddle, and I went up to the line, and I got in my place at tackle, and the guard was gone. Somebody forgot to tell him to come in. And I looked at that, and I thought, I knew the play was coming right through that where that guard was. And I just stepped in. And I done the best I could, best I remember, and I'm not bragging on me. The running back done a great job. He got 2 or 3 yards with just 4 of us on the line. That was, you want somebody that's going to stand in the gap for God, though. And that's what we need, is people that's going to stand in the gap for the Lord, be an intercessor for him, and be one to reach out to individuals. That's probably one of the greatest faults that we have in our churches today, that we do not step up and tell people about Jesus. That's being an intercessor. You're telling people about God, and that's what we want you to keep in mind each and every day. We want you to be excited about being saved. We want you to be excited about working for Him. Oh, no, can't be excited about that. They'll think I'm one of them nutty Christian people that they talk about so much. Well, I like the words of Paul. If I be a fool, I want to be a fool for Christ's sake. And there's been a lot of times people thought that I was very foolish in my actions and in my doings, but I want to be a fool for Christ's sake, and I hope you will too today. It's good to see each and every one here today. Today is somewhat a little bit busier. We have our business meeting after church, and we want all the members to stay after. I don't think we have a lot of things that's coming up, but we want to keep that in mind. I do want to remind everybody, we've got a singing coming up this Friday night. The Perrys are going to be here, and I want everybody to try to come and be a part of that. Come and help the Perrys out by praying for them. You say, well, I pray at home. Make an effort to come out, and I believe you'll get a blessing out of listening to them sing. So keep that in mind. But next Sunday is also something I'm looking forward to. I look forward to every time that we have someone join the church and we get to bring them to the water and to baptize them. We have a baptizing next Sunday. Now, usually we do that during our church service, but we made a special request because some family members couldn't come during the church service, and we want you to remember that. It's going to be at 4 o'clock. Everybody come back after church, spend a little time at home or eating or whatever you need to do, and come on back to church for the baptizing. We'll be baptizing Brother Josh. Next Sunday, we'll give an opportunity for those that might want to join that would also like to be baptized or even come by letter or credit letter. I would ask you to talk to me about coming to this church and be a member. It's what I want you to do. If you've got it on your heart and mind, talk to me about it. Even if you've just been saved and you want to join the Lord's church, but you don't know what you need to say or do, I want you to follow the Lord. Talk to me about it is what I want you to do. We'll give that opportunity next week. But let's keep these things on our hearts and minds. And for us as a church, let's be praying about these things. Please pray about how that God might bless us and we might reach out to others. Good to have everybody today. We want to move on with our service today. Appreciate all of our visitors again. We thank you for being here today. We ask you to be prayerful for us today as we go through this service. I want you to pray for one another. Pray that the Lord will bless you today in this service, that he'll give you something that just bubbles up inside. That's what I like to feel when I go to a service. One feller said it was those glory bumps. He said he called it that way. You know, when you get those little bumps on your skin that bring shivers to you, that's when the Spirit of the Lord moves you a lot of times in church. So we pray that you get that kind of a feeling today out of this service. It's good to see everybody. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Lord, help. Lord, help. Let's remember this student. Somebody else. I'm going to ask you to remember Sister Nettie and Mr. Bob. In case you haven't heard, they have put Mr. Bob on hospice. Remember him in your prayers. Miss Nettie has grown very concerned about his salvation. We went and met with him last night and stayed with him for as long as we could stay as visiting hours was concerned. He prayed quite a bit, and I'm just going to ask you to pray for him. We're waiting on him, and the Lord is what we're waiting on. And I hope before this service is over, we have good news to tell you. And I could tell you a lot of things about people, but I don't know the hearts. God knows the hearts. And that's what counts right there. We're glad to have everybody with us. But do remember Mr. Bob in your prayers. Remember Sister Nettie. This is going to be some hard weeks coming up. So remember her in your prayers. Somebody else. Let's remember one another. Let's especially remember those that are unsaved in our midst today. Do need to remember Brother Rowan, as he is Brother Brad's son, Rowan. He had a bad concussion here a few weeks ago. Understand Troy's been having some problems too. Just mounting up, ain't it? That's the way we all feel, right? Let's do remember these in our prayers also. There's others that I'm satisfied I'm forgetting and don't hold it against me, but God knows who they are, and let's pray. Anybody else have a special prayer request before we go to the Lord in prayer? Yes, sir, we do. We need to remember our nation in prayer. Somebody else. Good to have everybody with us today. As I said, it's good to have our visitors with us today. Brother James, would you lead us in prayers, please?
This song right here tells you my experience, because I can tell you the time, and I can take you to the place.
Thank you.
Number 178. Sister Heather, if you will, sing after this, please. Number 178, What He's Done For Me. Sister Heather.
Earlier in the service, Sister Tonda reached over and said, "Will you sing this song?" And then he said, "I want you to sing." So apparently he wants this song sung. He gave to me
Thank you, Sister Heather. Beautiful singing this morning. Appreciate Brother Key and Sister Janice leading in the singing. It's good to have Brother Key back with us, as he said, because of illness, and it's been where that he has not been able to be with us and help in the leading of the singing, and it's good to have him back with us today. Anybody got a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we go any further in the service? It's good to see everybody here. Appreciate our visitors. Some of you are the first here for the first time. We're glad you came. Some have been coming to our Bible study. We thank you for coming today for our service. I'm glad it's worked out you could come. And just glad to see everybody here today. If you want to read along with us, turn to the book of Joel, the third chapter. Book of Joel in the third chapter. Trying to figure out how I'm going to start this sermon. But we'll follow the Lord. Wake up! That's going to be the title of the message today. Joel, third chapter, reading verse 9. He said, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, that's meaning to all those that are unsaved. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat you plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. How many of you have ever heard talking about the verses in the Bible where it said you'll take your spears and you'll beat them into plowshares or pruning hooks? And you'll take your plowshares and you'll beat them into, you'll take your swords and you'll beat them into plowshares. Now, a plowshare is basically the same thing as a hoe or anything that you would dig in the ground with. It's a tool, in other words, that we use to cultivate the ground is what it is. But I want you to understand today, it's not going to be so much about the actual tools that we have to use today, as the fact is that we need to be waking up and realizing that it is important for us to be telling individuals in this world today about the fact that there is a Lord that is coming back and that time is drawing near that He will return. That was basically our message last week. We talked about last week about the fact that Jesus is coming back and that we ought to be excited about the very fact of Him coming back. I'm going to tell you today, I'm looking forward to the day that He comes back. I'm going to feel very sorry for you that are not saved if He came back right now. I am right this moment and time. I'm going to be feeling sorry for you. But I'm going to tell you today, I'm excited to see Jesus coming back. For us as a church today, though, it is very important for us to also be excited to tell people about Him coming, about Jesus, about His saving grace for that day. I want you to understand something today. God is willing to save each and every sinner that's in this world today. He'd love to do it right now, but He has put something upon that very fact, and that is that they would believe, trust in Him, whichever way you want to put it, have faith in Him that He'll do it. That's what He's expecting out of you. He expects us to believe and trust in Him. Now, in this message today, it is important for us as a church to wake up and to proclaim these things today. It is important, as we talked about in our Sunday school lesson today, Brother Stewart did a great job, and as he got going, like I've told you before, I do not read the Sunday school lessons before class time. A lot of people don't think that's good. I want you to read it, but I don't want it to influence my message that God has for you. So when he started talking about his message this morning in Sunday school, I thought, oh, Lord, you're setting this up today. So you be prayerful that I can take what he did as far as working the ground before me in Sunday school, that I can also bring along the plow, and that we can work the ground together, that we all might be ready, that we can work the ground together, and that we can show people about Jesus. But there is something that we've got to do first of all, is that, and that is this, that we wake up. Now, usually when we talk about being woke up, we're talking about being asleep, right? Yeah, we just need to wake up and then get up. How many of you has ever experienced this? You've got to get up at a particular time to go to work or school or wherever, whatever time it is, and you kind of rouse up and you look over at your clock and it's about 15 minutes past what you're supposed to got up. What's your first reaction at that? Oh, I'm late. I got to get up. It usually ruins your entire day when you do that. It took me about 40 years of work before I ever got to the point where that I looked at it, oh no. Then I said, okay, I'm okay. It's not going to make that big a difference. But the idea is today, it's important for us to wake up or open up our eyes. That's the actual term that what wake up means. What do you do when you wake up in the morning? You open your eyes, don't you? You open up and you see maybe the sunshine. I hope you do anyway. But you see the sun or the light that is shining about you. In this today, we want you to open your eyes, to wake up and look at that. Now, it takes something to do for a lot of people to wake up. I'm a lot harder to wake up than I used to be. I'm talking about from sleep itself. But the idea today is for us to open up our eyes and see what is going on around us. If you will, turn to the 13th chapter of the book of Romans today. I want to continue the thought of us waking up and seeing why we need to wake up. In the mornings, we wake up for a purpose. Well, we wake up to go get a cup of coffee. Maybe you wake up to go to work. Maybe you wake up just to take care of things at home. But you've got to open up your eyes and see what is needed. Years ago, I talked to a man that took care of a cleaning service. And he says, in this service, we change directors regularly. He said, for the reason is, he said, many times I walk by a place in the hallway, and this was a hospital, and he said, I'd see a cobweb down in the corner right there, and you didn't want a cobweb in a hospital, do you? You want it to be clean, don't you? And he said, I'd grab it, and I'd clean it. I'd make sure that my employees saw it, and I'd take care of it. But then again, he said, after a while, you get where that you walk by it, you look at it, and I got to take care of that. And you walk on by and you forget about the other things that's going on, and you forget about that dirty spot there. Now, it's important for us as church members today not to take it for granted that people are going to get saved. Did you hear what I said? It's important for us to not to take it for granted that people are going to get saved. I've talked and listened to a lot of mothers and fathers. I've listened to people testify over the years, "Oh, the Lord has showed me my child is going to be saved." Well, he told me he'd save them if they believe, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be saved for sure. You better be praying. You better be talking to them about Jesus. You better be showing them the way to the Lord. How many of you have noticed on television with the commercials and the ads? I'll use this one. I saw it the other day. Talk to your children about vaping. Why do they tell you to talk to them about it? Well, you don't want them to vape or whatever. It's not good for them or such as that. But so you tell your little children that's going to be bad for you. We used to say cigarette smoke, smoking a cigarette. You tell them that's going to be bad for them. If it's talking about drinking a beer or something like that, tell them that's not going to be good for them for like that. If there's a glass of poison there, would you tell them to take that glass of poison? No, you wouldn't do that. But we've got sinners that are about us each and every day that are going to a devil's hell. And listen to me, they're headed that way, and you are the one that's going to need to tell them about Jesus. Oh, that's sounding blunt, isn't it? It does sound blunt, but you are the one that's needed. As Brother Stewart talked about it this morning in his Sunday school lesson about standing in the gap, and he read out of Ezekiel in our lesson. I'll invite you to grab one of our Sunday school books, take it home and read the lessons that are in there. I'll do that. If we don't, we'll make copies if we need to. But the fact of the matter is, in that lesson, he said there is a need for those to stand in the gap. And what came to my mind, most of the time, people think, well, it's the pastor's duty, it's the preacher's duties, it's the deacon's duties. It's not my duty to talk to individuals about the Lord. But I want you to understand, there's people that needs to stand in the gap. In order to stand in the gap, though, you got to wake up. Open up your eyes to the truth that's about you. Look at that friend of yours that is a sinner, that needs to get saved, that's going down the wrong road, and tell them about Jesus, and tell them that they need to come with you to church. Why? In the 13th chapter of Romans, and let me give you a verse here, verse 11, and that knowing the time that now it is high time. What does that mean, high time? It means it's near. It's getting close. And what Paul was telling the church at Rome, he said, knowing that the time that now, what is now? It's now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. Remember I talked about the man. He said, I'd walk by that spot, and after a while I'd say, I got to get that. And he walked by and he'd forget about it many times. That's the way that we do with our friends, with our loved ones that are lost and without God. We walk by them, but let's wake up and see what they are going to do. Now, this message is not going to be about their suffering and their pain. We all understand and know what that ought to be, what it's going to be in eternity. But it's important for us to wake up and to see that now it is high time to tell them about Jesus. It's time for us to do that, to awake out of our sleep. You see, many times we as God's people, we start to get drowsy at these things. I didn't think I was going to this quick, but let's go to it on second thought. Proverbs, the 6th chapter, if you want to follow along with us and be prayerful as we go through these, starting now with verse 9, Solomon being the wisest man that ever was, according to the scripture, but it says, How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? And a sluggard is someone that's lazy. How many of you have been on a job working and you saw a man or somebody stand that was a co-worker and they was at their job? I worked third shift for a while, and I'll be honest with you, there was times it was all I could do to stand at my machine and not go. I have to confess. Eventually, I'd wake up, or somebody come along and they tap you on the shoulder. Boy, that's embarrassing, isn't it? How about if the Lord taps us on the shoulders and he said, wake up now. I need you to speak to these. I need you to tell them about me. He's saying here, he's going, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard, thou lazy person? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of hands to sleep. In other words, you just lay back. You just get to the point that you're laying back and you're not doing anything for the Lord. They'll take care of it. Well, these folks over here on this side of the church, they look over here at y'all and they say, well, they'll take care of the church service today. And they're looking at you and saying the same thing. No, we all got to step up, wake up, and look at it and understand now is high time. How many of us has got the promise of tomorrow? I want you to think about that for a second. You know that man that was cleaning and he had that spot right there, you know what his boss walked in to do? He walked in one day and he looked around and he said, there's a spot over there. I can tell that's been there for a while. Why haven't you taken care of it? What if the Lord did us that way? I'm asking you a question. Is it not needful for us to wake up and open up our eyes and look at who's around us? I'm not talking about here in church. Yeah, there's sinners right there, and we need to be praying for them. We need to be doing for them. We need to be telling them about Jesus. But when you walk out these doors, you'll notice the sign says you are entering the mission field, and the mission is to tell people about Jesus. Tell them about his saving grace. Tell them about how they can find the Lord. This is what we need to do. We need to open up our eyes and see the state of the world at this time and understand it's now high time, and is what it is. I want to go back to Romans, the 13th chapter. I'm sorry to make you do that. But he said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light is what he's telling us to do. He says the day is gone. The night is gone. What was he talking about? The time for rest. The time to think about, well, we can take it easy at this time. You know, I'm of the opinion, just the way that I see the world as it is today. We're getting ready for a Bible study on Noah and the Ark. What does the Bible tell us about Noah and the Ark? That it was a terrible time, right? That it was a time that was constantly, people's imaginations were continually evil, wasn't it? They were thinking about evil things. What did Jesus say? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end of time. Guess what? Look around, pay attention, open up your eyes and look at the ways that what we have described in Noah's day, and now look at us. Where are we? You may have a different opinion than mine, but I see a people that's bent on violence. That I see a people whose imagination are continually evil. I see where lying is the normal thing today. I see a time in which that people disregard God altogether. And if they do regard him, they'll do it in a false manner. They'll say, well, I'll just get up here and I'll act like I'm saved and that'll be okay. I remember talking to a woman years ago, and I asked her about her salvation. And she said, well, I've been on drugs and I got down. And she said, I just quit doing all that and I started going to church. And that's what I got saved at. And I thought, wait a minute, where did God get into this? Well, yeah, God helped you get out of it, you said. But was there a change in heart? There was a change of mind. God deals with the heart, doesn't he? I'm glad she got off drugs. I'm glad she got off the streets. I'm glad she got to trying to go to a church. But being saved is different from changing the outward part. Jesus said that he would clean up the inside rather than the outside. He said clean up the inside that the outside might be cleaned also. That was his actual statement. But he's telling us, put off the things of the night. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now, it's important for God's people, and I'm not going to go to Ephesians where it talks about the full armor of God. I'm not going to talk about that today. But it's important for us to put on an outfit that looks like Christ. Is this an outfit that looks like Christ? I know that some people say, well, a preacher's got to have on a coat and tie. That's why I wear one. Because I've got people here that believes that's what we're supposed to do, and that's fine. But if you watch my television show, you'll see I don't wear a coat and tie for it. If I had my rathers, I'd wear a pair of overalls and a shirt. I'd be as comfortable as I possibly could be. But the thing about it is, it's not the physical clothing that we need to put on, but the spiritual clothing of Christ, having a resemblance to that of the Lord. What Jesus talked about, that we might be the light of the world. I'm reminded many times how the moon itself, we look at it many times, it has no light of itself. The only light that it has is the reflection of the sun. And we, like the moon, we have no light in ourselves, but we are to reflect Jesus. You look at what Jesus did, how he lived, who he talked to, what he was saying to them, and that's the reflection that we are to cast. I don't believe I'll ever be as good as Jesus. But I'll tell you something. We're to try to be as good as him. He said, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, having drunkenness, nor in chambering, and that's going around with other individuals, not in wantonness, always desire, strife, causing problems, not in envying, not wanting what other individuals want. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Oh, wait a minute. Provision for the flesh. Preacher, I'm going to take care of my family. Yes, you are. The Bible told us by the sweat of our brow we would eat our bread. The Bible tells us that we are to take care of our families, that's a shame if we do not do that. But he says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's different. In other words, when we have a lust and provision for the flesh to make sure we take care of just us, just for our lust, that's where it goes wrong. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I preached a lot from this last week, but I've got a different verse for you today. And again, it's important for us to wake up, to open up our eyes and to see. In verse 34 of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God." You know somebody that does not know God? He says knowledge of God. There's a lot of people out there, and I'm satisfied if you go around some of these university people especially, but wait a minute, you don't have to go to them, do you? You can go to your neighbors, and you can find someone that doesn't have any knowledge of God, do they? They may have a knowledge that's in here, but do they have him in here? You see, the beginning of wisdom is the knowledge of God, the fear of God. That's where it comes from, actually knowing God. Do they know him? What he says here in this verse, in verse 34, "Wait to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." When I think of shame, I think back to several people in my time that the Lord knocked on my heart, tell them about Jesus. Talk to them about his salvation now. And I failed the Lord. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm ashamed of it. And you may be in that same state for somebody else. But Paul told him, he said, you ought to be ashamed. It's to your shame. If you have not spoken to your neighbor, and remember how Jesus was asked the question, who is your neighbor? It means everybody. His parable talked about being a friend to someone we do not know. Who is your neighbor? Now, let me finish this up. We're going to Psalms 108. When you awake, this is one of the best ways that you can start out showing people about Jesus. I'd be doing you wrong if I just walked all around this today and told you everything that we needed to do and didn't tell you what to do other than what I've said in this today. Psalms 108, the psalmist says, "Oh God, my heart is fixed." That means he's saved. "I will sing and give praises even with my glory," he says. The Bible tells us to bring out a joyful sound unto the Lord. Sing praise unto him is what he tells us to do. To give praise even with my glory. I don't have much glory about me. I don't have much about me that really shows off God that grace. But he wants us to use what we have. You may not be as bright as I am in the work of God. You may not think you are. I told Paula last night as we talked to Mr. Bob, I told her, I said, you did a lot better job of talking to him than I did. And she did. Many times we think what we say is not much, but it's our glory. It's our glory that we should show to each and every one. Verse 2, again he says, "Awake the psalteres, the harp. I myself will awake early." Now he's talking about instruments. He's talking about lifting up the instruments unto God. If you can play a piano or a guitar like Brother Sam or one of these other brethren, do it to the praise and glory of God is what he's telling us. He said, but I myself will awake early and I will praise thee, Lord, among the people. He didn't talk about it in church there. Among the people. And I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord is what he's telling us to do. The other day I caught myself just singing one of the good old songs that I grew up with. Hadn't thought of it in years. And I was singing it out loud. I didn't know if anybody was listening. I hope they was. Not because I wanted to sound good, but just that it would lift up God's name. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all. Get you a song ready. That's what it's all about, us praising God. When we tell individuals about our salvation, that praises God. When we make a joyful noise unto the Lord, it doesn't matter if you can't carry a tune in the bucket, as the saying goes. Believe me, mine sounds about that way. But if they hear the words of the song and it's about Jesus and it's praising, it's wonderful in God's ears. When we go to speak to individuals, if we will ask the Lord for help, he'll give you the words in the very same hour. That was a promise of Jesus himself. And you may think within yourself, those words don't mean a thing. They don't sound good. I didn't say it right. I've told you about my grandfather, how he was always afraid to pray, afraid that he would say something wrong that offend somebody. If the Lord's in it, it's not going to offend anybody. And if it does, they needed to be offended for God's sake. Whatever you do, this is my last phrase that I want to use today. You know preachers tell tales up here, don't you? No. Do all to the glory of God. That's what I would entreat you to do. Open up your eyes. Look at that child that's next to you. Open up your eyes. Look at your neighbor. Open up your eyes. See where they're going. Open up your eyes to the Word of God and look at what Jesus said about the pains of hell. Open up your eyes and see what heaven is and what your glory is going to be in that place. Open up your eyes to that. Whew. You're missing out on some great blessings. Not by just opening up your eyes to see what God's got in store for you. Brother Key, while we sing, everybody stand. If you're lost today, seek the Lord.